history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I love you. And I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be.
Oh, it's this beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning in Chicago. And here is my buddy Dave Schwann. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning. No drum roll here, huh?
Ladies and gentlemen, Dave Schwann.
I mean, it is now Schwann Incorporated, and there's no drum roll.
There you go. It's only been 5 years. I'm glad I just learned how to use that.
Oh, now we are in trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
Now that you finally learned how to use it.
And there's like 500 different sounds in here, so I can make some myself, but I'll find some on here for next week.
Yes,
for you.
We're all capable of making our own, aren't we?
How you doing, buddy?
Okay. Excellent. I thought I was picking up whatever viri and bugs and things are going around that are making people sick here yesterday.
Yeah.
But evidently, I
False alarm.
I'm hanging in. I hope you are too.
I have a house full of
sickos. Sick people.
Yeah, except for my oldest son and I are the only ones that have survived so far, and I'm feeling good about that. And I'm washing hands and doing all that stuff.
Right.
Except I'm flying to Vegas this week for business, and I know for a fact that's where those germs live on everything.
They do.
Including the little tray that you're touching and every
yep.
and the remote in the hotel room, all that good stuff. So
sure.
Anyway, I'm gonna keep lathering myself in antibacterial and hope something good happens there. But anyway, big stuff happening this week. Did you know we were talking Norman Lear's gonna be 95 this year. And he is still producing and on the set every single day on this new One Day at a Time TV series.
Does he have a new hat yet?
No, I love his hat.
I do, too.
He looks like he's in his 60s, maybe, you know?
It is really amazing.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Well, you know, speaking of history, okay, I got two things before the big one. 1889, Columbia Phonograph was formed in Washington, D.C. 1915, the neon tube sign was patented by George Cloud, and of course, you know, so much of Chicago was built off of neon signs that you would see down the streets, especially in the theater district and on State Street. But 1922, this is the big year. This Tuesday is the 95th birthday of Chicago's very own Betty White. 95.
Oh, wow.
And she's still working.
Yeah.
You know, and she's got she's working on a game show coming up. I mean, that's amazing to me.
It certainly is.
But I think that also says that keeping yourself busy and keeping yourself working is critical to longevity.
Well, it is. If you are, you know, very, very fortunate to have good health and, you know, nothing serious, as evidently Betty White has, you can keep going. And I got, may I add this also, Dave, my father will be 95 this
year. Look at that. Look
and
at that.
But
he's keeping busy and you keep him busy.
Well, that's right. We stay busy and we are planning another trip this year.
Awesome.
So
awesome.
He does social things.
Love hearing
that. That is a key also, being social.
Contact.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, in touch with other people.
Yeah. Well, Betty was my first interview ever when I started here on WGN.
I remember that.
Five years ago.
I remember.
May. And I thought to celebrate her birthday, we'll look back at my conversation with the legendary Betty White.
Mary, dear, I heard you were in charge of the entertainment portion of the Teddy Awards show this year.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I could have helped you out. I used to do a wonderfully artistic dance at private parties, but unfortunately, I don't have my costume anymore.
Oh?
Her snake died.
He died happy.
Mills Feilander attempted to harass me repeatedly. What do you mean he attempted to? He worked at Lars Eriksson's drugstore and tackle shop. He was a soda jerk. Now that I think about it, he was the town jerk. Every Saturday afternoon, I go in and have a sundae. Well, Mills would arrange the ice cream scoops in an obscene way. I could never prove it because by the time I would take it home to show my father...
I am doing great. How are you doing?
Just great. Thank you.
You know, I have to start out by saying your incredible career has spanned over 7 decades. Television, radio, the movies, you're an author. You know, what is left? What haven't you done?
Well, the answer to that has always been Robert Redford. But I still haven't.
You know, I think there's still time. I think there's still time for that.
I don't think you would find me that appealing.
Oh,
at 90, you know.
Oh, you know, America loves you. I can't imagine that Robert would feel any different. You know, I'm going to start with something that I don't believe too many people know about and have heard before. Your first role was in a play called Land of the Rising Sun.
Yes, it was in grammar school, and I wrote the play. We were studying Japan, and I wrote the play, and of course, as any, you know, self-respecting playwright would do, I wrote myself into the lead.
That's brilliant. And that was the launch. That was it. That's what started it all.
Well, I had always wanted to be a writer before that, but once I got on stage and once I checked out that audience, that changed my whole perspective. I thought, oh, this is fun.
That's great. And you know what? Usually, you know, Betty, when you talk about somebody that's got a lifelong career in all these different mediums, you know, you always say, well, they started in radio. But really, back in 1939, you actually first appeared on television.
Yes, it was an experimental thing. I was in high school, and they had a thing downtown, an experimental demonstration of television on the top floor of an automobile dealer.
Wow.
So we did The Merry Widow, the leading man in the graduation play, and I did The Merry Widow on the fifth floor of the Packard showroom, and the audience, there was one small television set down on the main floor among all the cars.
That you probably had to scrouch down to look into, right?
Yeah, well, my parents and the parents of Harry Bennett, who was the student body president that I played opposite, had to go down there and stand among the cars and watch this little 10-inch screen.
That's awesome. I love that. And then you actually, in the 40s, you did some radio, and then you broke into television again, and you did a morning show, which, you know, Hollywood on Television, which I have to imagine prepared you for anything.
Well, we were on 5.5 hours a day, 6 days a week.
Whoa.
For 4 years with no script, no nothing. Whatever happened, and but it was like going to television college, really.
I bet.
It was a wonderful experience.
And then, you know, being you were the co-creator, the producer and star of the sitcom Life with Elizabeth, another pioneering moment for a woman in television, which is incredible.
But we didn't know any better then. We you know, it was years later that the women's movement came through, so everybody said, well, weren't you amazed at being a woman producer? And said, we never thought gender. We just, if the job was there to be done, we did.
Right. Exactly. And I think that was your first Emmy nomination as well, was back then in 1951.
Yep.
Amazing. And then you did a daily talk show. You did another sitcom, Date with Angels. And then we really got to know you in the 1960s with being the queen of game shows on Password.
Oh, it was such fun. I wasn't the queen of game shows, but I loved game shows.
And that's where you met your beloved husband.
Yep, on Password.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, what would he say to all your success now after all these years of 90 years, 70 years of show business? What would he say to that right now?
Can you believe it? At age 90, I'm still not only working, but working steadily in a successful show. I mean, who would have dreamed that could happen?
And you're still getting tons of offers.
Well,
for roles, though.
I know it, and I'm the luckiest old broad on 2 feet. Believe me.
But then you broke out. I mean, you know, people know you best, of course, as Sue Ann Nivens on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, and Rose Nyland on the Golden Girls. And for both these shows, you know, very similarly to Hot in Cleveland, you know, one show you were only going to make one single guest appearance, and the other one, you were almost cast as another character.
Yes, on Golden Girls, they called me in to play Blanche, and that was Rue McClanahan. And Jay Sandrich had directed most of the Mary Tyler Moore shows, and Jay directed our pilot of the Golden Girls. And it was Jay's wisdom that said, if Betty plays this man-hungry Blanche, the neighborhood nymphomaniac, after doing, you know, the same part.
Sure, Sue Ann.
Sue Ann on Mary, they're going to think she's doing the same gig. So it was his bright idea to have me play Rose, and I'm eternally grateful. In fact, we had dinner last week, and we're still Jay and his wife and I are still very, very close. And so we were laughing about it all these years later. We were saying, if he had let me play Blanche, my career could have ended right there.
Well, it gave you probably some new challenges, too, new opportunities for a different type of role. So that must have been exciting, too.
Absolutely, and it made me stretch a little, you know.
Sure. And, you know what's funny about going back to the Mary Tyler Moore Show, you know, you were only going to be on one or two episodes. It wasn't really going to be a long-term thing. And that's really what happened to you with Hot in Cleveland playing Elka.
Oh, well, I had it in my contract. I agreed to do the pilot, providing I would not be obligated if the pilot got picked up. Well, first of all, you do a lot of pilots that never see the light of day.
Sure.
And then, secondly, I just didn't have time. I wasn't being snobby. I just didn't. The schedule was too full, so I thought I didn't want to find myself contracting to do something that there's no time for.
Sure. What changed your mind? What made a difference?
Well, you do so many pilots that don't get picked up. We were picked up in 3 weeks. Sometimes you'll do a pilot and you don't find out till months later whether they're going to do it or not. We got picked up in 3 weeks, and by that time, I had done the pilot with Valerie Bertinelli and Wendy Malick and Jane Leaves. And we all just fell in love with each other to the point of having such a good time that when it came around to getting picked up and they came to me and asked if I would do some more, I said, but that wasn't the arrangement. Well, I have the backbone of a jellyfish. And they kept saying, well, what if you only work this? What if you only do this? So I, of course, I said, well, I'd do a couple more. I've done every one of them.
Well, you seem like you're having a great time doing it.
I am having the time of my life. You couldn't ask for a happier set.
So the legendary Betty White, when I first called her, and I was just telling Joey, I have Betty's home number because she was on our board for years, and I called her at home and I said, I was paired with Bill Leff when he was doing overnights when I started here 5 years ago. And he trained me. I mean, he was amazing. He was so generous to me. And I called Betty and I said, you know, I have a chance to do, this is my first interview. Would you do that for me? And she said, and this is right after Saturday Night Live. And she was like, at the, you know, completely out there in the press and publicity. And she said, you know, it's been a long time since I've been somebody's first. I love that. Still my favorite.
And that's as far as we go.
That's as far as we go with that. As far as we go. 1929, the first outdoor feature-length talking motion picture was made, a film called In Old Arizona.
That's the first full-length.
In Old Arizona. 1929, also the birth of legendary civil rights activist Martin Luther King Jr. He had a dream.
It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
You know, my daughter is 11 years old, and she was telling me, you know, I said, you know why you're off on Monday? And she said, well, Martin Luther King Day. And she actually recited that first part of that speech to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah,
you should be proud.
Yeah, it's very cool.
You should be proud.
It's very cool.
We will be talking about this during the morning, as the morning goes on here on WGN. Yeah,
absolutely. 1930, just the next year, first radio broadcast of the Lone Ranger. That was WXYZ in Detroit.
Detroit.
That did it. But I think it was also on this station as well, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Through Mutual?
It was all part of the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Yeah,
right.
Which was on WGN
right.
here.
And WXYZ in Detroit was the Mutual affiliate.
I've heard the radio show, but I've seen the TV show, and it was always on Channel 9 Sunday mornings with the Cisco Kid.
Yeah,
that's Cisco how I would Kid. Watch it. Absolutely.
Was this the old black and whites that they
yes.
were running?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. But I knew, you know, we'd watch Giggle Snort Hotel earlier in the morning, and then the Lone Ranger and Cisco Kid.
There were a couple of Lone Ranger, I think, full length feature films.
Yeah, there was.
That Fraser Thomas would show on Family Classics,
yep.
going
yep.
back to the '60s. Now here.
I miss that show.
Yeah,
I
do too.
1965, Home of the Whopper was trademark registered. Here's a classic Burger King commercial.
We can serve your grilled beef whopper fresh with everything on topper. Any way you think is proper, have it your way.
Now that's the way to do things. Our way.
Have it your way.
Classic commercial, Dave.
Goes
that
back
jingle.
To, that takes me back to high school.
Yeah,
there,
yeah. 65. 67, Blizzard of 67 was the anniversary this past week. 50 years.
And, coming up.
Yeah, coming up. Coming
it's
up.
Coming
Excuse
up.
Me. It's coming
it's
up.
It's coming up. Yeah.
And here's an original report from Channel 32.
Here in the Chicago area, we tend to think of this as our storm. Actually, it hit most of the state and even neighboring states. For our regional weather report, we go to Harlan Drager in the city room of the Chicago Daily News.
The snowstorm that slammed into Chicago's midsection has left the wide surrounding area in a state of near paralysis. For suburbanites as well as city residents, the word is don't travel unless it's an absolute emergency.
Good tip. All right, so that's the Blizzard of 67 coming up. 1977, Ernie Banks was elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame. 1991, fast forwarding to that, Seinfeld debuts on NBC TV. Here's one of my favorite clips when he was trying to rent a car.
We have no midsize available at the moment.
I don't understand. I made a reservation. Do you have my reservation?
Yes, we do. Unfortunately, we ran out of cars.
But the reservation keeps the car here. That's why you have the reservations.
I know why we have reservations.
I don't think you do. If you did, I'd have a car. So you know how to take the reservation, you just don't know how to hold the reservation. And that's really the most important part of the reservation, the holding. Anybody can just take them.
Let me speak with my supervisor.
Here we go. The supervisor.
He had the worst yeah. luck with reservations. There was another episode where they were waiting
oh, yeah.
in a restaurant.
Yeah.
And they were delayed and delayed and delayed. And finally, they all, Elaine and whoever else he was with, probably George and Kramer, they all left.
Yes.
And then the last line in the episode was, Seinfeld?
Yeah. You know what's funny, too, is that that is a show that I love. And I have not watched it in years.
I haven't seen it in a while myself. Now
like
that you
like now,
it.
I want to watch some of these episodes.
Too.
So
great.
Did I. Yeah, absolutely. 2010 marked Conan O'Brien's last Tonight Show episode after a big controversy, of course, after the Tonight Show time slot when they moved Jay Leno into his own show and all that stuff happened. As they burped.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And now they're talking about. That's awful. I'm so sorry to everybody in the audience.
You did close your mic, didn't you?
I did. I did close my mic on that. Hold on a second here. All right, there we go.
Again with the drum.
Again with the drum roll. Exactly. All right, Walter Jacobson's perspective coming up next on 720 WGN.